Okay, this is Parak Tess and Hilchos Zechiyah Matana, continuing the halachas that have to do with the Shechiv and Ra and him giving a gift. So let's say someone who's close to death tells people who are listening to when he's giving away his property. He says, do not tell anyone about this gift. Do not reveal it until after I die. This is a good gift. It's not considered a hidden gift. Because basically, after the person who's saying this, after he dies, he's saying now this should be revealed to everybody. Halacha based mitzvah machmas, what do you call it? Mitzvah machmas mitzvah, right? So someone who knows he's going to die, in sarich lomar gilos matana, he doesn't have to say what do you call it? Make the gift ela afapi shehi ksuva stam ein choshem Hashem mitzvah. Rather, what we say is without any specific instruction, we don't assume it's a hidden gift. Okay, this is Parak Test in Hilchos Zechiyah Matana, dealing with the lachas of Shechiv Merah, someone who's close to death giving stuff away. Let's say a person close to death says the following out loud in front of other people, commanding them for Amar. He says, Lo tiglu matana zubro t'niyaba adam alachamisa. He says, don't let anyone know about this. Don't publicize this gift until after I die. It's considered a good gift and not one that is hidden. Since he said the condition was that the transfer takes place after he dies, it's as if he's revealed in the present. Let's say what he called, he gives away, sets aside his property for after he dies. He doesn't have to say, make it known to other people. Since it is written without any specific instructions, we don't assume that maybe the gift is a hidden gift. Let's say the person close to death says that let this person take all my property or part of it, and he uses words like to take hold of or have rights to or acquire or purchase, etc. These are all considered language of the gift. So too, if he says like inherent or receive the inheritance, al misha royal yorsho. Or is it considered a good kinyan, good gift? But if the Shechiv Merah says this person should benefit from it, or he should stand in it, or he should be supported by it, that's not considered a good transaction. Let's say Shechiv Merah sets aside all his property to someone else. So if this person, what do you call it, is not really a person who should be inheriting the property, he gets this whole thing as a gift in royally or show, but if it is supposed to be for, if he's supposed to be able to inherit it, nola mishum mirusha, he doesn't get it because of a gift, he gets it as, rather as an inheritance. Med remembrance is applied, v'shahai yoresh hazeh achas yibidosav. This applies to one of the intended recipients of the present is one of his daughters, or echa miklav v'nivonav, or someone from his household, or echa miklav achiv, or from one of his other brothers, or chiyotzeh mishra yoshin, or other inheritors. Alim chasu la'echa miklav, but if he wrote this to one of his sons, lo aso, Ella apotropos, he's considered to be a guardian of the estate. Let's say someone before I prefer, he's what he called about to die. He's asked the mehein, right? What he called should, who should it be given to? Shema the pony, maybe to this guy. He says to him, Ella me. He says that no to anyone else. Ronin royally orsha. We see if that person was royal to inherit. Note lam mishum rusha. Then he would take it because it's inheritance. Vim lav nad. Note lam mishum patana. He would take it as if it was a Bekdusha. Let's say a convert has a son who at the time that he was conceived was not done as a Jew. Hove inu your show, he's not his inherited Kamashi's Rabbi Kamaz will explain. So too, the convert cannot give his son his entire estate as a gift when he's close to death. Not all of it, not some of it. Because the language of a, what do you call it, an heir, it doesn't matter if it's an inheritance or a gift. It's the same thing. Therefore, if it says that he's going to acquire it, it's as if he... Therefore, the dying convert gave his property as a gift to any other convert. It's considered a good... acknowledges that he owes a amount of money to a person, and he asks that should be given to him from what he has. Excuse me, Osha Amar Kli Pony, because the new Biyadi Laponi Tanulo, where he says, this item is what he called, is one that is I'm having a security, it's in my hands, and give it to someone else. this guy, Chatzifon Shaponihu, or this courtyard, what do you call it, it belongs to him. Choshesh Shaponi Eino Shali Shaponihu, or this debt that's in my hand, that's for him, is not mine, but rather for him. So what's the key thing here? In every situation like this, we say that his acknowledgement is considered a good acknowledgement. No, even if a convert says to his son, to like let's say acknowledges his obligation, the son wasn't conceived as a Jew, and nonetheless his words are good. Even if what he called the person who's about to die says he owes a debt to a non-Jew, listen to him, and that debt is repaid to the non-Jew. Well, Shivara says that a gift should be given to a non-Jew, right? Then what do you call it? From his own estate, we don't listen to him. Because if he tells someone to commit a prohibition with his property, let's say what do you call it? The person's about to die, and he says, "My servant should become free." Oh, Shamar Tisi also ben Chorin, or I made him free. Oh, Harei Hu ben Chorin, or he is free. Kovanus Yoshim Shachron, so we force the inheritors to free him. Because we say that Eved can do some mitzvahs. Let's say the guy's about to die and he says, create something nice or good or pleasant for my maidservant. So we'll see what that is in a second. She gets this good thing. What does it mean? It means she gets to work any type of work she wants to do. She gets to pick out the kind of work she wants to do, which is probably the easiest work, as compared to normal work done by servants. Shechemirah sets aside all his property to one person. If Amar Halaini wrote to the hand, and the guy says, "I don't want this stuff," Lokana. Let's say, what do you call it? At first, the person who is supposed to get this stuff is quiet, right? And then he protests and he gets the property. Because the words of the Shechemirah are considered to be as if they've already been recorded and everything's been transferred over. Since he was quiet, he can't go back and retract the deal or the gift. So Shimura sets aside his property for one person and then goes back, changes mind, and gives it to someone else. The second person gets it. Because he can retract until he actually dies. Whether it's for everything or some of his property or for himself or for others. Even if he went ahead and set the property for a first person, what do you call it, who acquired it, the cost of his Achron, and then he wrote again for the second guy, Achron Kana, last guy gets it. Shechivra, because the Shechivra who goes ahead and has someone acquire something on behalf of someone else, a Daimatana he, it's the gift of a Shechivra. Allah to Zion, Allah Shechivra, ain't Achron Kinnin Klum. But if a Shechivra sets aside his property to a person, and had someone acquire that property on behalf of that person, of the recipient, and then confirm such a thing with an actual Kenyan, that's it. He can't go back on it. It doesn't matter what he gave away. In that situation, there's room to return. If Shnevin Rav shacks some of his setting aside his estate, the entire thing is nullified. Ketzah, what's an example? Let's say he gives all this property to one guy, the Kanamiyado. And he did it when he showed it was a kinyan that it was good. To strengthen the recipient's legal position. And then he went back and gave some of the stuff to someone else. The same thing. He did a true kinyan to strengthen the position of the second recipient. The first guy didn't have to make a kinyan for anything, whether the guy recovers or dies. The Let's say a dying man gives some of his stuff over as a gift and does a kinyan for it. But then he gives everything to somebody else, and he does an act of kinyan to strengthen the position of the second guy. In Mace Kanarisha, when he dies, the first guy does it, has a good kinyan, a mix of half the stuff, let's say. The Kanashashin is trying to send and gets the rest. But if he recovers, Rishon Kana, the first guy, it does have a good kinyan. Shinu Kana, the second guy does not. Let's say Shlim Rosh consecrates all his property for the base of Mikdash and doesn't save anything for himself, or hifgar, or he makes it ownerless, or he sets aside for poor people. Im amad choser b'kol. If he gets healed, then everything is retracted. Excuse me. Halacha chaf. Machar kishu sells anything. It's as if we treat the sale binding as if he's helping. Halacha If the Shlim Ruah sells all his estate, everything from estate, imamos atzma kemos imamad choser. So if the money itself that he received for it is still in his possession, and he sold it and got money for it, and then he got better, choser, then he can retract it if he gets better. Vimhosi amos, but if he, what do you call it, spent the money, then in the achalatzer, he can't go back. Rachabez, matanishi, he's stum, lunis. Let's say, what do you call it, there's a document that has in it the recording of a gift that's brought. What it called, and it doesn't say anything about when the guy was healthy. So it's not unclear if he was healthy or not, or he was dying when he gave it over. So he says, what he called, he says he was a shkinra and he recovered and he wants to go back on the gift. But the guy received the gift, barihaya, he was healthy, ben yachlo, so he can go back on it. So the receiver hasn't been a proof that the guy who gave it was healthy at the time. Lomotz arrive, he can't find a proof. Nishba hanosin shvua seses, so then the giver has to make a shvua. The yiftar of a tamal karka the cheses hanosin, and then the landed property remains in the possession of the guy who gave it. So the giver wins out. But if the movable thing was in the hands of the receiver, mitosh yochalomar shalihain, since the receiver could say, hey, this is all mine, yishba heses shabari haya kishnas lomotanazu. So then he has to make, the recipient has to make a shvua proving, stating that the guy when he gave it was healthy. Let's say someone dies and a, what do you call it, a document that lists his will, so to speak, is tied to his thigh. Even if, what do you call it, the document was sent witnesses and it says that kinyan was done to make the recipients more in a stronger position. It's meaningless. Because I could always say that the shlimer had written and then changed his mind. If through the document that he wrote, there's a transfer of ownership to someone else, whether they're funding inheritors or not, called Ram Shabbat. So all things are in it, Kayaman are good, like any gift of a Shchivra. If someone, Shchivra has a note that has a debt on it, that he owes money to someone specific, let's say Reuven, what do you call it, Obashim Echad Banav, one of his sons, Omen Yorshim, one of his inheritors. V'nasan ashtar ad yad shlish, and he gave the document to a third party. V'amar lo yeze etzlecha, and he says to him, "Take care of this." V'lo pirish lo klum, but didn't explain anything else, right? Osha amar lo hanach ad she'omer lecha mashat ha'aseh, or he says, "Hold on, doesn't tell you what to do." V'meisin dies, harezen a klum. Document doesn't mean anything. That is practical. Continue with Parak Yud next time.